Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Who cares if my hair's a little bit long? I'm alive, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Good to have you with us. My name's Marcus, and Jim's here.
Hello.
Luke's here.
All right.
And Peetles is here.
Hello.
Oh, we're a bit tired, aren't we, gentlemen?
No, we are on form and ready to get rocked.
Yeah? Fourth Ramble in 5 days.
Wow.
Yeah. My giddy aunt. Well, let's get on with it then, you cunnies.
Wow.
That's not a word. You can't have a go at me.
It definitely is. Or it used to be a word.
It certainly implies a word.
Cristiano Ronaldo recently wore a disguise in the centre of Madrid, donning a fat suit and a fake moustache, beard and wig.
Why did this happen?
Did this happen?
Yes. It certainly did.
But why? What was the story behind it?
Lols.
But did he just do it of his own accord, or was he put up to it?
Of course, he was put up to it by Nike or something. He was wearing a lot of Nike stuff. He was kicking the Nike football around. I would hazard a guess that it was something to do with Nike football gear.
I don't think Cristiano Ronaldo is a man who lends himself readily to lols.
Exactly. That makes you think that Nike have literally made him do it. Against his will.
I reckon he's a bit of a laugh. Mm. Do you remember that Nike advert where loads of people...
Oh, yeah, that bit where he's paid to do something. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
He looked a right laugh.
I've been done.
Yeah. I've been done.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Right laugh all the way to the bank.
Yeah. Money. Funny money. You can tell we're tired, can't you? He was doing kick-ups in the centre of Madrid, and there was a lot of local children there who were quite surprised to see this chap, who was obviously quite fat, bearded and wigged, and he suddenly got up and started doing all these flashy skills. And when people were sufficiently impressed, he revealed his true identity, which is very humble of him.
If you imagine seeing that as a kid, my life would have peaked.
Yeah, but
I was a young Madrid fan seeing that. That would have absolutely amazing.
I think one of the kids, though, when he took off his disguise, one of the kids was sort of looking as if to say, I'm quite scared now. I'm not happy that it's Cristiano Ronaldo.
As a child, it's an intimidating thing to see someone who's genuinely that famous. You get quite scared.
But who's also, suddenly he's gone from one thing to something else.
Yeah.
It's also impressive that he's still got skills in a fat suit.
Yeah. You'd imagine his skills would shine through in anything. If he was like inside, I don't know, like a big tank.
Yeah.
As a man who is wearing a permanent fat suit, I completely agree. It's difficult. Yeah. It's very difficult. Okay.
Do you reckon he's had to practice that? I love the thought of that. Just in his house, just in a fat suit making sure he doesn't make a tit of himself.
Like Big Mama's house.
Yeah, there we go.
He's only going to lose more weight by sitting in a fat suit anyway, isn't he?
Sweating out.
Imagine doing stomach crunches in a fat suit.
I can't.
Like again, it is very hard.
Yeah. I bet he tried to get abs in his stomach suit. Yeah. As soon as he put it on, he just starts doing sit-ups, going, "I will not live like this."
Have you got one that's got abs on it?
Well, if you could choose someone from football to have their own prankster-type show, who would it be, Jim?
I say this, not entirely convinced that it isn't already happening, but I would go for Mike Ashley, because obviously he's had a long-running series of pranks played on Newcastle United, just too many to mention, and it looks like he's basically about to do exactly the same thing to Rangers. It's strange, isn't it?
Spreading the prank.
Exactly, no one really understands why he's going to Rangers. As we know, he made £1 billion, so he can't be as daft as he seems. There must be some sort of method to this madness. Actually, maybe even he's wearing a Ronaldo-style fat suit. Who knows? Yeah. Maybe... Yeah, maybe it's Dennis Pennis in there. We haven't seen him in a while. Him and someone like that.
Yeah, I mean, Rangers fans, don't be too scared of Mike Ashley. It is just a man in a suit.
Yeah.
Pete.
Luke.
I was about to say.
Sorry, we're in a slightly different formation tonight. Yeah. And
we're on the portable gear.
I was going to go with John Carver and say that, you know, the prank show's about to start, but it's very, very similar to Jim's one. So I think I'll go for indie pranks with Leighton Baines.
Yeah,
okay, that's
and,
nice.
And the pranks are basically things like, oh, ha, 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 you couldn't even recognise an Oasis B-side. Or, ha, ha, you haven't even seen Kick-Ass. You know, it's really indie-related pranks.
What's the setup to that, though?
Just
he just walks around and points at people.
Leighton Baines puts Kick-Ass or another independent film, an Edgar Wright film on DVD, and when someone watches it, if he notices their face, it's like a little bit like, oh, this is all new to me. He just goes over and goes, ha, ha.
Don't you know anything about culture?
You haven't
but, like,
even
not,
seen this.
Like, not mainstream culture, like cool culture.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, townie.
And you know, like Noel Edmonds used to give him the gotcha.
Yeah.
He gives you like a sort of mop top haircut.
Nice.
And you have to wear it, and so everyone knows you've been banged.
Would there be like a hipster equivalent of a gunging?
Yeah,
we don't see a lot of gunging
now,
do we?
Top hair.
Yeah.
It's a prank based around the C chord and the F chord.
Yeah,
that's pretty much their only chords that Oasis know.
How you can't even do a D minor on the guitar? I'm having a go at Leighton Baines because Everton have been rubbish this season, so I feel like it's appropriate.
Yeah,
Pete.
I'll go for Akinfenwa.
That'd be a terrifying.
Well, it'd be really funny if he like had a bonk on the head and he was running around for his football team on a Saturday afternoon, and then halfway through, realised, well, I can't be a footballer. I'm too chunky, and then just starts tearing at his own flesh, and just tries to remove his fat suit, but he's not wearing a fat suit.
Yeah.
So everyone's just horrified at this crazy man who's gone wild and tries to tear at his own stomach.
And then later, Baines comes in, puts a mop top on his head.
Yeah, and then Noel clicks his fingers, and we can see what you watch on the telly.
Sort of less of a prank show, more a terrifying insight into the mind of you, isn't
not just that, the tired mind of me.
Yeah. Oh, but the prank would always be on Akinfenwa.
Yeah, because he's always trying to tear at his own flesh.
Sounds like a Charlie Brooker Black Mirror.
Yeah. Or a really, really weird remake of the Robbie Williams video for Rock DJ.
No one needs to see again.
If it was Akinfenwa, that video would be 10 minutes long.
That's true.
There's a lot of muscle to get through.
Yeah, he's a powerful man, but it would take Akinfenwa a long time to tear himself to pieces, I agree.
Yeah.
Brad Friedel. Friedel's about. Nice. Thanks.
There you go.
That would work. No, the thing is, I think Brad Friedel's too much of a nice guy. I don't think he'd be able to pull through with it. I think he'd be doing the prank or whatever. I can't do this.
Yeah,
identical car. I'm about to crush it. So someone thinks their car's been crushed. And he would just go, do you know what? I'm not into this.
Oi, the pun works.
Yeah, the pun was fine.
All right.
Yeah.
Alexis Sanchez dressing up as a cleaner and then, like, pretending he's a cleaner and going around and cleaning people's houses, and then he takes off his disguise and goes, and it's called Clean Sanchez.
That's better.
Again, not really it's a very nice prank, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, I've done a nice thing for you.
Because all South Americans are cleaners, aren't they? Pathetic.
Yeah.
That's shocking. That's not
Marcus.
The views of Luke Moore, who's never been there. I know they're not.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly. Who's got the points? I think Jim's got the points.
Oh,
well done, Jim.
Yeah, well done, Jimmy.
Wow. Well done, Jim.
Let's go to the FA Cup, ladies and gentlemen. What a weekend it bloody well was. Those of you who came to see us at the live shows heard lots of chat about that. But we're going to talk about the games themselves for everybody else. Chelsea 2, Bradford 4.
Unbelievable.
I mean, we've spoken about this game a few times now. It's still an outrageous result. Bradford scored twice as many goals as Chelsea at Stamford Bridge.
Despite going 2-0 down?
Yes.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, I think I'm right in saying that at one point during the game when they were 2-0 down, because you know you can bet on football in play, Bradford's price was, I think, 460-1. So if you had a tenner on that, you'd have £4,600 now.
Yeah.
Maths.
Yeah, and that's just an example of the maths you can do.
Mm. Absolutely. Just incredible. John Stead put in what looked like a world-class performance. Yeah. Like that fourth goal, the way he held the ball up and sort of dummied it and got it through for the assist. It was just superb.
Rolling back the years and the defenders,
yeah.
Jim.
Yeah.
It's interesting when players do that, because obviously he's played at a top level and... he clearly has some quality about him, and for one reason or another, because there's more than just talent involved in being a professional athlete, of course, it didn't work out. But that talent's always going to be there.
Yeah.
So when it comes out on the big stage, maybe it just gets inspired by a big cup tie or whatever. It's fascinating to see. But Marcus, question I was going to direct towards you. You might know this. Is that the first time a Mourinho team's gone 2-0 up and not won the game and been beaten?
I'm not sure. I
was thinking on the way here, I couldn't think of another example. They've been 2-0 up and not won the game. I'd be surprised if that's happened before. I'd like to know if it has.
I think for that assist that Stead did, I think I really, really like that player. He's a very skillful footballer, but he's never really got the respect he deserves, I think, because every time he's kind of had players that have fitted around him, his manager's either been replaced. I think it happened with Gary Speed, it happened with Gareth Southgate as well. Two managers who kind of understood where he was coming from.
Mm. Are you giving him the credit he deserves now, Pete?
I am, yeah. Yeah. I just, if you're listening,
just get in touch.
Old Ollie HC. He's always kind of been let down by the manager being replaced by proper kick ball up in there and get a big man up top kind of football.
What about Moraes?
Yeah, ex-Chelsea, isn't he?
Ex-Chelsea, released under Mourinho at Chelsea.
Mm. Got the equaliser, didn't he?
Didn't have a problem celebrating against his old club, did
certainly
he?
Not, certainly not. I
apparently, Jose Mourinho in the tunnel was going... like shouting his name,
was it?
Yeah, trying to psych him out. That's big of you, isn't it? Jose? Oh, I'm
Pete,
glad they won.
Is this pre-game?
Pre-game, yeah.
Is it safe to say it didn't work?
No.
Yeah. May have had the opposite effect, somewhat galvanising effect. Yeah. Well, I was saying before when Chelsea lost their first game of the season, how because Matic wasn't there, it seemed to make a huge difference, and that maybe they are a bit fallible. And Matic didn't play, did he? So maybe that's part of it.
There was
Kurt Zouma was absolutely nowhere for the fourth goal. What was he doing?
I mean, it was a second string Chelsea side, you could say, but it could be a fourth string.
Yeah, but still had huge players on the pitch.
Yeah, even if you put to one side that it's a Bradford City team they're playing, who have proven themselves to be a decent enough cup side over the season. When you're in a position like Chelsea are in, where you're the best team in the country and you're gunning for lots of different trophies, those fringe players should be absolutely well up for getting the team.
Of course, yeah.
You get that opportunity, you make it count so you can be a part of it, because none of those players who are top professional athletes want to be like, oh, we won the league and we won the Champions League, but I played about two games.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you've heard about players not even accepting the medals in that situation, so you'd think they'd be really up for playing and really up for performing. And every single one of those players should be able to beat Bradford.
Well,
but they didn't, and you know, fair play to Bradford.
Salah, people were saying, were playing. He was playing for his Chelsea career.
Of course, yeah. I mean, he and Schürrle look like they might well leave this month, which again, you look at how strong Chelsea squad is on paper at least, or as they've shown to be this season, you wouldn't think either of those players would be going anywhere.
No.
But they're so committed to making their squad as perfect as it can be that they're still making tweaks like that. And as you say, you would think those players, like, surely they're in the shop window.
André Schürrle is going to be released. They don't need him. Yeah. What a player.
Didn't Mourinho say because he can't get in the team ahead of Willian and Hazard?
No, I mean, I understand. That's what I'm saying. That's how good Chelsea are. But to be able to let a player like Schürrle go, I mean, a great World Cup. He was decent last season for Chelsea as well. Very handy player. Now, that's the embarrassment of riches they have.
And they're trying to get Cuadrado in, aren't they, to replace it. So basically, they're moving him on.
Player.
Yeah, to get Cuadrado. He's obviously a good player,
that's
really
fantastic,
quick.
Yeah.
Had a great World Cup, didn't he? Did he have the most assists in the World Cup? I think I remember reading
possibly.
That.
I think he got three or four, didn't he? He scored once.
Such depth in the squad, there's no excuse not to be tearing up the Champions League and the FA Cup. There really isn't.
Mm.
Well, it's brilliant.
Still
it?
In the Champions League.
I know, but I'm just saying
it might be a voyeur to laugh at it, but
I can't see them winning. I can't see them winning it.
I don't think they'll win the Champions League myself.
What? Hey, Phil Parkinson, Bradford City manager, snubbing the Mourinho handshake.
That was brilliant.
As he should.
He was beaming on Match of the Day too when they. When they asked him about that, he was like, yeah, I did that.
I'd love it if he went up to him before, if he did what Mourinho does to other people. Once the game was won, a couple of minutes from the end, go up there and just shake his hand. Mm. Say, see you about there for a glass of wine.
That would be, when they went 4-2 up, he just popped off.
Yeah.
I hope that after the game, Moraes was in the tunnel going, Jose!
Yeah.
What was it you wanted earlier?
I was going to pop off at 3-2, but now at 4, I can definitely say it's okay to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the most incredible results in modern times in the FA Cup, you would
absolutely
say.
Bloody, exactly.
Wasn't sort of Jose Mourinho's excuse that why he shakes the hands early is because didn't he say that he has to ring his wife to let him know the score or something?
Yeah.
So maybe that's what Parkinson was doing. He was ringing Mourinho's wife to let him know, let her know the
that's score. What he genuinely did say that, Mourinho, when
that's
someone criticised him.
Ridiculous. Does he keep her in a cage or something? I mean, what
that's weird. Libelous.
Yeah. Question. He's not saying he does.
Yeah, exactly. Why on earth?
When we're talking depth, he's probably got deep pockets as well.
Yeah. But why has she not got any sort of device to tell her the score?
She should have like a.
She should at least have teletext.
You think he'd furnish her with a smartphone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, what difference does it make if he calls her just after the end? Yeah.
Maybe she's an independent woman and isn't interested.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
And she can furnish herself with a smartphone.
Don't ring her then.
Furnish.
Can you? To be fair, she's got to be some kind of like egomaniac herself if she puts up with Jose Mourinho, for crying out loud.
Very tolerant.
I mean, she's a lovely lady.
Presumably, Jose gets a lot of free Samsung products. He doesn't even need to buy her a phone.
No, exactly. Yeah.
It's truly baffling.
It doesn't make any sense.
Truly baffling.
But speaking of big upsets, I think I don't want to take this back to Arsenal. Yeah, Jim, when Arsenal lost to Wrexham, weren't Arsenal top of the?
It was a very similar situation.
No, but I think Wrexham were bottom of the Football League. I think that is literally the largest largest upset you can get in league football, I think I'm right in saying that.
Brilliant.
So obviously, apart from that, Chelsea, that's a massive upset, given the game was at Stamford Bridge as well, which is crazy.
Incredible stuff. And you knew it was a good round of FA Cup when Middlesbrough beating Manchester City, the champions, at the Etihad was overshadowed. I mean, but that was Middlesbrough were great, and oh my goodness, who was it? Tomkin.
Yeah.
Nearly scored.
Tomlin.
What a turn that was.
He did a magnificent turn and then outside of the right foot. Oh man.
Yeah. I know, and it
something
clipped
else.
The post.
They were great, Middlesbrough, weren't they?
I mean, he'll find solace in the fact that they went through to the next round.
Yeah, exactly. Middlesbrough have had some decent away results this season.
Karanka's got them playing.
Absolutely. I mean, this
promotion, hopefully.
Quite often you see teams are galvanised by the fact that they're in the cup and they play above themselves, but that's not quite the case with Middlesbrough because they're in such fine form anyway. Obviously, they've just gone into the game of confidence. City are knackered from going to Abu Dhabi the night before.
They played Liverpool, didn't they, a little while ago? I think that sort of. Middlesbrough played Liverpool not that long ago.
They did at Anfield.
And did quite well. So I think that kind of like give them a bit of positivity when it comes to the
They lost on penalties, sorry,
took them all the way, but they didn't
sorry,
win
sorry.
The thing with
it felt like a victory for those Borough fans,
but it literally wasn't.
No.
But the thing with Man City flying back so late from Abu Dhabi, that has to be disrespectful to a team who not well for two reasons. One, as we've just said, a team like Middlesbrough can get has already got some good showpiece away results going into that game. But also, Man City drop bollocks at home all the time.
Yeah, that's their second 2-0 defeat in a row. As you said a couple of weeks ago, they are good for a rip.
There was
a couple of teams that went out at the same time because they played friendlies out there as well, I believe.
That's why you can't have a Premier League winter break. Those teams will be out there straight away.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Newcastle were out there. I think West Ham were as well.
Arsenal have done this before as well. Danielson got injured out there once.
But what made me laugh was Newcastle came back before this round of FA Cup fixtures, like knowing full well that like they were never going to get into the fourth round of the FA Cup.
Not a bugbear. You always talk about Newcastle's rubbish cup record.
Yeah, because it is rubbish.
Pompey haven't won a game in the FA Cup since 2010.
But do you not think, though, if Manchester City... I know they didn't, but if Manchester City had put in an okay performance, people may have said, "Oh, well, it was a good move to have a go and go to Abu Dhabi and have a bit of rest in the summer."
Yeah, I think there is a bit of that, but I think actually, if you look into the sort of wider picture, it's that sort of stuff that's going to cost Pellegrini his job in the summer. Mm-hmm. The only reason that if he keeps his job this summer, it'll be because they can't get anyone else, because they can't get someone like Guardiola who they're waiting for.
You think they'd get rid of Pellegrini?
They're not going to win anything this season.
They could win the league.
I think that's unlikely.
Champions League, they're up against Barcelona. They've not been great in Europe.
Go much further in Europe, but I don't think the league's definitely out of the question. Yeah, I think I agree. I think Chelsea probably will win it, but I think City are going to push them tighter than we're seeing at the moment. They're just going through a bit of a blip, I think. But I guess this is, when you're a top level manager, this is the sort of shit you've got to deal with, isn't it? Like, we see these kind of things at Real Madrid all the time, where this ridiculous pressure is on managers, and as we've all put examples forward of, like, Premier League teams go out and play these games during a Premier League season and you never hear about it. So imagine what other kind of nonsense goes on that they've just got to deal with, but and manage around.
Wasn't Joe Hart pictured in the tunnel sort of saying, we don't need to win this competition.
What?
We don't need to win this cup. That was apparently what he said.
When you say it was pictured, did someone put a speech bubble in? Because you can make him say anything.
I can't believe he was caught doing that. Yeah. We don't need to win this.
But the owners of Man City said that they want Pellegrini to win 5 trophies in 5 years, didn't they?
Yeah. But he won two last years. So he's got something in the bank.
But do you think realistically he's going to keep his job if he doesn't win anything this season?
No, clearly if he doesn't win anything for the next few seasons and then the fifth season go, well, I'm going for the treble.
Last that long.
I know, exactly. Yeah. So
I mean, they wouldn't take five FA Cups, would they? They wouldn't.
That's it.
Who are they going to get in, though?
Well, that's the point.
That's the point.
I was thinking about this earlier. I was thinking, if there was a better candidate that came along in the summer, would Man City take him? And I think I could see him taking someone like, because Guardiola's a difficult one because he likes a project, and I know he's contracted till 2016, I think, at Bayern Munich, and they've talked about an extension, but that hasn't happened yet. Yeah. Obviously, Mourinho's not going to go there, and we're talking about Man City only really using very top level managers. Yeah. Anyone I could really think of that would possibly be interested, given that Klopp's fallen away quite badly, is Carlo Ancelotti, who might have come to the end of his cycle at Real Madrid.
Simeone, maybe.
Yeah, possibly Simeone.
As you say, Ancelotti would certainly be one if he wins the league with Real Madrid. He's won the Champions League and then he wins the league.
I mean, he's lasted quite a long time.
And you're right. The real top level managers, there's not that many. The only other name I may throw in there would be Big Pards.
Yeah, it'd be a good testing ground for him for England, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
I'm going to make a prediction
for that pressure.
I'm going to make a prediction here.
In by March,
I think you guys are going to laugh at me now. Possibly, but you definitely will. But I think there's a good chance in the summer of 2016, Alan Pardew will be the England manager.
Do you reckon?
Think about it, right?
I reckon he'll be putting himself in the running.
Already doing that. but I think if all that needs to happen for this to go, I mean, if we all accept in this room, presumably there aren't that many candidates.
Yeah.
You know, so if we think that Hodgson's going to go up to and probably finish in Euro 2016,
right?
Because if he wins it, which is obviously unlikely, you can't imagine him staying on.
No.
If he disappoints, you can't imagine him staying on. So the only way he's going to stay on, really, is probably if he gets like the semi-final or something like that.
Right.
But generally, I think it's a good chance he'll go after Euro 2016. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If Pardew delivers easy safety for Palace this season, which I think he will, and then kicks on next
season.
And wins the FA Cup, which I think he will. But what I'm saying is, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that let me finish. Pardew's respectability and reputation will be massive.
Yeah.
It will be, because there's far too few English managers doing anything.
But what I would say is that he was in the frame before when he had that top five finish.
Yeah.
I think it was at the end of Capello's run, I think he was in the frame. And,
well, Hodgson's a better candidate.
I know that, but I'm just saying that he has spells where he's very, very good, but it doesn't last all season. Pardew teams fall away, he gets found out by some of the players for my money.
I know we're just speculating, but how far the standards expected of an England manager have fallen. Fabio Capello is in that conversation.
I actually think Allardyce would get the job before Pardew.
That's possible, yeah.
His stock's much higher at the moment.
Speaking of Pardew, Big Pards marches on in the FA Cup with a wonderful win away to Southampton.
Yeah.
Don't it always seem to go? I'm annoyed.
Fourth time in 5 days, you've heard that?
I've heard that about 7 times, I'm sure. And all the people who have tweeted me it.
I like to encourage people to sing that to Pete wherever possible.
That's right.
I like Johnny Mitchell, so it's fine.
Yeah, Pete, because Southampton were a goal up, does that mean Crystal Palace still go through?
No, I think any football team any football supporter would prefer not to go 2-0 down every single match and then come back and, you know, everybody going home with brown trousers.
Okay.
Isn't that what football?
I mean, they weren't 2-0
down. That'd be great. No, it's literally about scoring more goals than everything else. No.
What, do you think Bradford didn't enjoy Stamford Bridge because they went 2-0 down?
Yeah. Absolutely. Jim Schumacher and Sanogo scoring.
Yeah.
Finally, a real tactician's getting the best
absolutely
out of
it. Absolutely, yeah. obviously, Wenger's just not of the pedigree of Pardew, is he, when it comes to getting a...
Oh, can you stop saying those really obvious points?
It's a bit cliche, isn't it?
Maybe, I think, you're talking about Pardew for England. When Wenger goes and Pardew takes over at Arsenal.
Yeah.
and then Pete will have a bit of a laugh. Then maybe England.
There was a guy on a phone in
Palace, Arsenal, England.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a guy on a phone in a little while ago, and
the Ian Wright
genuinely suggested that. Absolutely hilarious. Oh dear.
Absolutely marvellous. But all joking aside, that was a superb win for Crystal Palace.
It was
fantastic.
Southampton obviously have been superb this season.
Are Palace going to lose a game ever again?
I just think you're you guys are letting down the Crystal Palace fans by only looking at their team through the prism of Pardew.
Is there anything left?
It's an upsetting prism.
I'll never have that. That's what they're doing.
It's an upsetting kaleidoscope for my money.
But when Pardew comes in, doesn't the magnetism absorb the entire identity of the club?
I think so.
Is it fair to say the whole world of football is quite an upsetting kaleidoscope?
That's good.
Yeah,
upsetting kaleidoscope or a match made in heaven? You know, you decide. Liverpool kept a clean sheet against Bolton, 0-0. Big Heskey returning.
Oh, what a story.
To the scene of the crime.
So appropriate 30. That he didn't score.
He didn't score, but his hold up play made sure that.
Has anyone seen any highlights of that game? Did he come close to scoring or anything? I haven't seen it.
I did see the highlights, and I don't think I saw him in them.
Excellent.
I think I saw the highlights in my mind before it kicked off, and I didn't see Heskey making a goal scoring return. That's all I'm saying.
The thing is, we can't laugh at him because he's 37 and he's playing at a championship side, and he's at Anfield in the FA Cup, and it's remarkable.
Idiger Johnson's in the team as well.
They're so all there.
The golden oldies.
Did you say Idiger Johnson's got a black beard?
He does have a black beard now. How does that happen?
I don't know. Does
your beard change colour?
On the old Tom Jones. On the old Tom Jones, mate.
Yeah.
Someone was telling me a story that apparently Neil Lennon, one of the things he did when he first got at the club was to give a rocket up certain people's bottoms, but also in training a lot of them were wearing beanie hats, and he's like, well, you can stop that.
No, yeah, I think what he actually said, he's done a really good job there. I think the entirety of the story is that he was saying, because I think a local reporter reported that, but then Lennon came back again and said, what I was saying was, you can't wear a hat while you're playing. You're not allowed to.
Yeah.
So I don't want you to wear one when you're training.
Yeah. Because
it doesn't
make sense.
It's funny.
It's an interesting. But also with heading and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm amazed that they were wearing hats at all in training for that very obvious reason.
But you see a lot of players doing it, and even at the top level, because I guess purely because maybe a lot of the time they're not just doing football ball work, they're doing other drills and stuff like that, I guess. And then when they stay warm while they're running or whatever, you know.
Maybe they should have novelty hat games.
That'd be great.
Just charity games.
I'd be all for that.
Fancy dress hat games.
There was another 0-0. It was Cambridge United 0, Manchester United 0. Richard Money, the Cambridge manager, a.k.a. Dickie Dosh.
Is it fair to say he short-changed Man United?
Hey! There
Dick
you go.
Money.
Yeah.
Just his name,
he's
Dick
full of
money.
He's full of money.
Rich Money. I mean, Dickie, what wonderful, isn't it?
Hell of a name. Chadwick returned as well, I believe.
He did, didn't he?
How exciting.
He looks like he's about 1,000 years old.
He's not grown into them features, has he? Bless him.
It's like they're running away from his skeleton. You know what I mean? It's like different bits of his face are running away from his skull in completely different directions.
Oh, that's harsh, isn't it?
Very harsh.
Yeah, well,
you're only observing what you're observing, mate. It's not your fault. It's his fault, if anything.
Yeah.
Or it's his parents' fault.
Absolutely superb. Cambridge will get a reported £1.7 million, which is fantastic for them. It's more than their annual budget, of course.
It's incredible that Man United. I mean, you could say that, you know, Van Gaal, they're in a period of transition. Van Gaal's doing this, that, and the other, and maybe they've been unlucky personnel-wise with their sort of back line with injuries and that sort of thing. So maybe you could argue that they might concede when they shouldn't. But there's absolutely no way they should not be not scoring against Cambridge United.
But
Cambridge United, you know. Obviously better than Portsmouth, but they're not not a very good team, so there's no reason United shouldn't be scoring.
But Man United were blaming the state of the pitch, and I thought, well, if it was really that unplayable, change your tactics, put Fellaini up top and hit him, hit the big man.
Really
do you know what I mean? Like, come on,
what do they gain from saying that? It just seems so pathetic.
It's beneath a club of that size.
Absolutely, of course it is. Yeah, it's very very poor. If the pitch is near unplayable.
Yeah. It's got like landmines in it, fair enough. But
don't talk about it like there's a referee doesn't inspect it. Mm. Like a referee doesn't go, actually, you can't play on that. Happen.
And I'm not sure, but they might have had a training session on the pitch.
Yeah, that old chestnut.
Well, Cambridge had to play on it as well.
Mm. Yeah, if Cambridge go to Old Trafford, do they, well, the pitch was too good, we're not used to this pitch.
Yeah.
Our passes were going where they were supposed to.
Normally we knock it just to the left or the right of the man.
Where we are.
He'd made the run and it just went straight past him.
I didn't have to deal with the camber of the actual pitch itself.
No. Yeah. Portsmouth's pitch, we've talked about this before, Portsmouth's pitch has got a camber at one end. So if you sit so at the away end in front of the goal, it rises in the middle. So if you sit in the front row down by one of the corner flags and look across to the other touchline, if the ball's on the left wing and you're set on the right, you can't see the ball.
Isn't that incredible?
That really is.
Why can't they sort that out? They were a Premier League club not so long ago.
I don't know, but I know for a fact it's always been like that.
Well, Hibs in Scotland, they famously, I don't know if it's still the case, they had a slight slope. To the point of one of their players or their manager in a half-time interview said, well, we're shooting downhill second half, so...
Wow.
And also, Lord's, now, obviously, that's an exaggeration. Lord's, and it can't be that bad because it wouldn't be playable.
Lord's Cricket Ground's got a slope as well. That's never been changed.
Really?
Yeah.
Blimey, O'Reilly. Yeah.
You just got to beware of sinkholes.
Just adapt it. Yeah, yeah.
Indeed.
I don't know why they haven't changed it at Portsmouth. It might be more difficult than we think to do it. Yeah. I can't imagine
why. Well, maybe they've tried and they've just went, oh, it's arrived again. Good.
Yeah, yeah.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Yeah. I always used to think it was odd though back in the day.
Very strange. Good win for Arsenal away to Brighton. Well, in the end,
yeah.
I mean, they obviously conceded two goals, but it was a good performance though.
Very strange that we conceded two goals, but that's what Arsenal do to you. Yeah. And Thomas Rosicky, what a brilliant performance from the little Mozart.
He was just a lovely little player, wasn't he?
He was magnificent.
When I remember him playing at Dortmund, I remember being really excited when Arsenal signed
him. Yeah, me too.
And if I could add, I deeply wish, as a football fan in general, that he had played more often for Arsenal.
Absolutely,
because fantastic. They look. I'm a bit of a lame when it comes to Arsenal compared to yourself, Jim. But like, from memory, they always look better with Rosicky in the team.
Absolutely. I mean, he has missed probably about three seasons of football with us throughout his career because he's had a few like proper like miss a season layoffs, and he was pretty much brought in as a replacement for Robert Pirès. That's how long ago we signed him, and I was really excited as well because it was just after Euro 2004. He'd scored an absolute screamer in that. He looked brilliant, and obviously we'd seen him at Dortmund as well, and it was a really exciting signing. But I think there's this, because he's had so many injuries, there's this idea of Rosicky that he's really lightweight and flimsy and he doesn't get stuck in, but he does. He presses more than any Arsenal player, really. Consistently, he's very, very good at that, and it sort of took him a while to get his form back after one of his injuries, like when he was a bit older, but he's very much done that now, and he's very, very, very rarely lets Arsenal down.
How old is he?
He's 34 years old.
Yeah.
But he just zips about for the entire game.
Never know, would you?
Absolute model professional.
He's definitely got
a lot of time off.
It does seem to be the case.
Yeah. If he can stay injury free, he's definitely got a few more years in there.
Oh, definitely. I mean,
What's his contract situation? Is it still going?
I believe he's. He might have a year left, so something's going to have to happen with that soon.
Yeah.
But I think I was a little bit worried about how Rosicky hadn't been playing at all this season, because he always adds a lot of drive to our midfield. It's always a good thing, as we've already covered. And like a few times in recent seasons when we've been going through a bit of a shit time, we've needed to catch up and make up the points that we've lost in stupid games. He's come into the team, he's added that drive, he's added that forward thrust, and he's steadied us. And
he's also reliable. He's got that reliability to his game where he'll perform and he'll work hard and he won't let you down. Do you know what I mean? And that's actually a quality that Arsenal haven't had a huge amount of.
Very calm head as well, amongst all the brilliant things he can do. And, it was
an absolute whirlwind. It's a virtuoso. It was just brilliant. And Phil Neville wasn't enjoying it, though, was he?
No, well, I was about to say that his goal as well. Yeah. Lovely pass and a good finish.
Yeah fantastic. Beautiful. Yeah, fantastic performance all round, really, you know.
Just volley on the edge of the area. Just that beautiful sweeping motion. But yeah,
I mean, Neville... Stockdale was blinded by the defender. It wasn't quite in the corner. I think that's how.
Come on, Phil.
I'll tell you something now. If Rosicky scored that goal against me in training.
Yeah.
Would you have two-footed him?
Yeah, well, that's what Phil Neville said, wasn't he? Because he did a no-look pass in the build-up to Ozil's goal. But that's Phil Neville, a man whose self-doubt is correct more often than he is.
But it's a shame, though, because you would think with Phil Neville, a man who has played with some phenomenal players over the years and has had you know, a great manager and played with great coaches as well, and often, you know, in the... his punditry, you know, he comes across as okay. Gary Neville's obviously very good. You'd imagine they would talk about football, or maybe Gary would talk at Phil about football.
Yeah.
And he's involved.
Well, he's got him in a headlock.
Yeah.
And what have you learned, Phil? What have you learned?
Look at me diagram, you know. And
look at me big fun. Terrible impression of Gary Neville.
They're involved in... what's the team? FC United, is it? Or FC Salford?
Salford's in there.
That's right, Salford. So for a man with all that behind him to come out with such a moronic thing.
Well, it's a shame, isn't it? Because, I mean, it's not like he's just any old ex-pro.
That's what I'm saying.
He played for one of the greatest dynasties English football has ever seen, and he's still got that attitude of don't try anything different.
He's just playing to the crowd. He's playing, saying what he thinks people, like the average man on the street wants to hear.
Maybe.
But it's not as if, like, it's weird because, you know, Phil Neville was always the one that had the natural talent, and Gary Neville was always the one who was just first in training, the hardest working trainer in football. And Gary's really impressed as a pundit, but Phil's just sounds like a bloody troglodyte. He sounds like an absolute idiot.
I wonder how hard they're worked in the BBC when it comes to punditry, how hard they're worked at Sky.
Yeah,
I think Sky, you've got to be. I mean, I've been around Sky before, and all the rumours I've heard, and actually I've read a bit about it in the press as well, how hard Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher work in their Monday Night Football show. Like, they're in like 11 in the morning or something.
Yeah. They should do. It's a big, big show where they're only required to talk for around about an hour and a half an evening and getting, you know, a ridiculous amount of money to do it and be a face of a thing, I suppose.
Yeah, and they've got to add an insight.
Until Henry turns up.
They've got to add an insight that the people who are watching the game along with them can't come up with themselves. That's the entire point. Mm. Sky have got no equivalent of, say, Robbie Savage. Do you know what I mean? There's nobody there.
There's not like a Deadwood
in
there,
that
I
sort
think.
Of clowny Deadwood.
Well, there's
role.
Absolutely no way Robbie Savage should be on the BBC. There's absolutely no way.
Sky Sports, you mean?
No, Robbie Savage is on the BBC.
Yeah, but there's no way he'd be on Sky Sports.
No, there's no way Savage should be on the BBC.
Oh, I see. Yes,
there's absolutely no way Robbie Savage should be on the BBC.
Correct.
The BBC's remit is to educate and entertain and inform. Isn't it any of those things? So,
entertain. I mean, some idiots enjoy that sort of thing.
Okay, maybe that could be argued.
Sign up for Lad Bible.
Yeah, right.
there are billions of those people.
True.
If a commercial company wants to take a chance on employing Robbie Savage, that's up to them, as in BT Sport do, because they're run by their bottom line. Essentially, but the BBC have got no business employing him. It's ridiculous.
Mm. And he's everywhere. He's used everywhere. And I don't understand
because
how
mostly you're doing impressions of him.
But I don't understand how we can get away with sort of doing, you know, grafting on the BBC and BT Sport as well.
Gary Lineker's going to be doing it.
You're
soon.
Spreading a very thin butter, very thin.
Gary Lineker's apparently just been signed up for their Champions League.
Has he actually
coverage.
Signed up? There's talk of it, isn't
That's
it?
What I saw,
I think
yeah.
that he's negotiating it because he's obviously his contract's probably exclusive, but he's Gary Lineker. Isn't
that,
he,
so is it, I would have thought that's because the BBC might lose the Match of the Day rights now.
Yeah, because ITV are going to bid again, aren't they? Could you imagine that there is a genuine possibility that within the next few years the Champions League will be exclusively on Sky and BT Sport, and the Premier League will be on ITV? It's a depressing thought, isn't it?
Where's the Scottish Championship going to be?
on the radio.
I love listening to football on the radio. I'll be fine with that. Yeah, I can listen to any game on the radio. I'll find it fascinating.
It'll be on at mine. blimey, Spurs lost at home to Leicester.
That's the measure of the weekend it's been. We didn't even mention Spurs.
But it's a classic Spurs in it up, though, isn't it? Because like, they've been on a good run of form, winning a lot of games 2-1, digging in when they need to late on, and they just Spurs it up.
It was a fairly underwhelming lineup, I think. They showed the FA Cup.
I haven't seen the lineup, but Pochettino's got a track record for doing that. He passed around to a couple of times, which infuriates around the fans.
Jaren Schlupp.
with late goals there.
Yeah, Joao's goal was excellent, wasn't it? I think he's scored in every round of the FA Cup he's been in so far.
Yeah, and it's a great win for Leicester. Still, so they're not having the best of times in the league, and that will get them pumped up.
I guess with Spurs having the Europa League football to play, that at least makes their schedule bit less grueling.
But Leicester could go deep in this competition. They've got Aston Villa next, I think, in the fifth round. They could go deep.
Villa aren't going to score any goals.
They've got two against Bournemouth.
Way they're going, that could be their entire hall of goals used up in one game.
Yeah, didn't I read somewhere that the ones that have scored the least amount of goals aren't in the bottom of three in the Premier League? So goals are kind of overrated in that sense.
Goals are overrated.
Yeah, Villa are in the bottom three and they've got only got 11 goals.
Yeah, they've got the least amount of goals.
If they carry on, I'm not sure if I said this on the show last week, forgive me if I did, but I think if they carry on going the way they're going now, they're going to score fewer goals than Derby did in that legendary shit season when they came bottom.
Yeah.
So I think they got 20 that season. I think if Villa continue like this, they'll only get 19, I think.
Even when Sunderland had that really crappy season, I think they scored a few goals. Right. They had some pretty good players.
Hmm.
They had Quinn.
West Ham beat Bristol City 1-0. Bristol were unlucky in that game. Sakho popped up with the winner. Sakho pulled out the Senegal squad for the Africa Cup of Nations, which I think people were none too pleased about in West Africa.
But Big Sam was pleased.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Well, I don't know how I feel about that, because it's a shame I'm not going to see him at the Africa Cup of Nations, but it's good to see him here.
Yeah, it's
basically, I really like Saka.
Nice to see him.
If you love him, set him free. Would a caged bird sing us sweetly, Jim?
That's true.
I have not kidnapped him. So.
or a limousined footballer, as he was, because he was driven down to Bristol in a limo, apparently.
What's all that about then?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about team spirit of that.
Well, he scored, though, didn't he?
True, yeah.
Maybe it was like a West Ham Hummer. Yeah. I imagine you can get those for a really, really tacky night out.
Yeah, a West Ham Hummer sounds like, I don't know, it points to something else.
It sounds like something that happens in prison.
Speaking of...
I'll give you a West Ham Hummer.
Speaking of...
Let's take him home in a West Ham Hummer.
Speaking of tacky nights out, on the way back from Gatwick Airport the other day, I've got to tell you guys this, I went past Sellers Park.
Mm.
And I don't think this has been mentioned before on the show,
right?
But they've got a nightclub on the corner of it called Crystals.
Oh god,
ooh, that's lovely.
A Crystal Palace themed nightclub. Nice. I'm gonna go there.
Lovely.
It's not far from where I live. I might go there.
Well, is that Chris Armstrong walking around the bar? Yes, it is. It really looks like him.
Let's go to La Liga, shall we?
Oh, let's.
The big story of the weekend, of course, was Cristiano, the aforementioned Cristiano Ronaldo, was sent off for kicking and slapping Peter.
He'd gone mad, hadn't he?
Such a Cristiano Ronaldo thing to do.
I know.
But we haven't seen it much, though, have we?
But if he was going to do something, it would be kicking and slapping. He would never punch anyone.
He seemed to swing at someone in open-handed.
You say that as if it's a bad thing. He'd never punch someone.
No, but I think there's something... I don't know, maybe I'm talking nonsense.
I'd expect Roy Keane to say that.
No, but good. Well, that's a compliment.
Or Phil Neville.
Less of a compliment. I think, though, is there not something more honest than just standing side, front on someone, punching them rather than sort of kicking them in another
side? I'd rather someone slap me than punch me.
It's like a Bellamy elbow in the ribs sort of thing. Just do it properly if you're going
to
do it.
Yeah, but I had to watch it like two or three times to work out what he'd actually done, because it was a bit of a kick and a bit of a shove and not much else.
It was very footballery, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It was very much a sending off, because it was just completely daft.
It was a kick and a shove.
It was a kick and a shove.
What's this thing? I've heard that he's not going to get a proper suspension or something.
Apparently it wasn't seen as violent conduct.
Why?
Well, clearly he's been sent off for violent conduct.
That's ridiculous. Because there's some big game that he's going to miss if he gets suspended.
Do you think Cristiano Ronaldo, the league, need him?
Well, any game he's in becomes a big game, doesn't it, perhaps? So
this is important, though. It's an important thing to get to the bottom of, because I've talked about this before on the show, like how the culture of the individual is so prevalent now.
Yeah.
And that's where it starts to really undermine the fabric of the game.
Yeah.
Because if individuals are seen to have decisions made about them in that way, now I'm not saying that has happened, we'd have to wait and see what turns up, but if that is happening because the marketing potential of a player is so great that they have to almost bend the rules to breaking point to accommodate it, it undermines the fabric of the game, and it's not acceptable.
Well, like if he's suddenly just, you know, he's just won the Ballon d'Or, he thinks he's got the world, he has got the world at his feet, and he just suddenly thought, you know,
and
what,
has done for a while,
I don't need to be in La Liga would be like, oh
yeah, right,
no, you know what I mean.
Or if you put it in another situation, so you remember when Paul Gascoigne got booked in the semi-final of World Cup 90, so he was going to miss the final if England went through.
Yeah.
If Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi, right, had a massive bust last up in the semi-final of the World Cup, and they both got sent off, and they're both going to miss the final.
Yeah,
I would wonder what would happen.
Yeah,
it'd be very interesting to see what would happen.
Yeah.
Whether there'd be some sort of appeal, so it'd be suspended or something like that. You know, whether they would.
Yeah,
because that would test the very fabric of the game, given how much it's in hoc to commercial partnership now.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to see what happened.
Yeah, I mean, well, it hasn't.
Try
happened,
out on
so.
FIFA.
Yeah, right, yeah. But do you understand the point I'm making?
No, absolutely. Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
It's dirty. Modern life is dirty and grubby, and I don't like it.
No.
I didn't say I didn't like it.
But, you know, the game itself was interesting because Cordoba went 1-0 up, and before Ronaldo got sent off, bizarrely, they were giving Madrid a bit of a scare. Mm. Even when it went back to 1-1, Cordoba always looked like they could score because he's had a bit of a mare. And got lucky that the ball hit the bar, and then weirdly, when Ronaldo went, it seemed to galvanise Madrid, and they were just a bit more solid. And they obviously tuck the penalty away at the end.
That does happen with teams like that who've got such a big superstar. They do tend, because sometimes if a team's got a big superstar in it, all the players will just look for him naturally.
Mm.
Once that person is removed from the equation, then it can make them play a bit more as a team. Yeah.
Well, especially because they've got Bale in that squad as well.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, they've got a team full of quality. Anyway,
you've still got Bale and Rodriguez on.
Yeah, it's not too bad, is it?
and others. It wasn't the only outstanding sending off in European football over the weekend. In Serie A, Lazio beat Milan 3-1. Philip Mexis.
That was a fantastic sending off. That
now that's a proper sending off.
Did he have him like in a headlock at one stage?
I would go as far to say a Brutus the Barber-esque sleeper hold.
Sleeper hold.
Yeah, because the great thing about it was it was Stefano Mauri.
A Brutus the Barber beefcake to give him his full name.
Was it Stefano Mauri he did it to?
Yes, the Lazio captain. Yeah.
He's a unit.
Yeah,
as
but
well.
The great thing was though, Jim, is like it looked like he stood up to Mexes and tried to front him.
That was wrong move.
And then he was almost a bit like, oh, actually, yeah, fucking hell.
He might
pull my head off.
Yeah, and then he started to shit himself a little bit. Yeah.
Well, Mexes had a go at him, and then the referee sent him off. Then Mexes thought, I'm going to have another little go. Just I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
That red card came out too early.
I've never pulled a head off before. I'm going to finish this job.
He's another 16 red cards in his career.
He gets interviewed after the match and they have sipped champagne with kings and queens. Yeah. He's been down in the gutter eating pork and beans.
Yeah, he's an underrated loose cannon, Philip Mexes.
He is, yeah. I had no idea his red card count was anywhere near that.
He's a very angry man. Well, to the point of an Italian friend of mine who used to work at the club, met him once. So he was a nice chap, and it was it was early on in the season, and he said, "Oh, I've got you in my fantasy football team."
Then
and
he glassed me.
Yeah. And Mexes said, "Oh, I don't know, that's a bad move. You know, you probably lose points with red cards and all this kind of stuff." He started then talking his way out of my mate's fantasy football team.
Maybe he can't handle the pressure of being in people's.
I am an animal.
Teams.
Yeah, he basically said, "You know, well, that's not a good move. You know what my track record's like. There will be red cards.
I'm a liability."
Imagine if your confidence was so low as a footballer, because we know it's a confidence game, that you start feeling the pressure of people you've never met putting you into their fantasy football.
Oh, no, there was no pressure. He was proud. He was like, no, I'm going to do this. I've got a list of names.
I wonder if he does that in contract negotiations. I wouldn't give me...
Give me 80 grand a week. Yeah. 60. Like, I'll do it for 60.
Yeah. I love the thought of him drawing up a list at the beginning of each season. Yeah, I'm going to do him, going to do him, going to do him.
Mexes is like, the more you pay me a week, the more likely you are to get annoyed with me when I get suspended.
Yeah.
Pay me like
do
a
yourself
lower
a favour,
amount
yeah.
and just leave me alone.
Just give me the freedom of the pitch.
I'm an honest man, and I like to properly earn my money, so I'm going to be out for a while, so don't bother. excellent stuff. Philippe, Juve are 7 points clear at the top. Roma dropping points again. Come on, Roma.
Paul Pogba scored an absolutely magnificent goal in that game. It was a shuffle and a rifle.
Nice.
How often do you see a shuffle and a rifle?
A shuffle.
Not often enough in my book.
No.
Isn't he apparently going back to Manchester United?
He's going everywhere.
It's January, isn't it?
It's January. There's a lot of players talking a lot of nonsense.
Yeah, 75 million.
A lot of kissy faces being made.
Pogba, he's having a brilliant season. He seems to be getting better with every game. He was responsible for the second goal as well, because he started a move. It was then crossed in by, I think, maybe Vidal, strangely.
He's everywhere.
And Pogba caught the ball in mid-air with his knee, volleyed it while still in mid-air, and the keeper parried it, and Lichtsteiner put the rebound in. But still, he started the move and it made the shot that led to the rebound, and he was just magnificent.
Juve,
he's still really young too.
Yeah, in Pogba and Vidal in the centre of their pitch.
That is up there
Juve.
With any midfield in
Am
Europe.
Am I right in saying that part of the reason, because the way United signed Pogba from Le Havre was quite controversial anyway.
Yeah.
Buy his parents a house or something. But then when Pogba left United, I'm pretty sure from memory I'm right in saying that he was demanding to be played more, saying, yeah, you haven't got much better than me in midfield, I want to play. And Ferguson was saying no, and that's why he left. And actually, the more this carries on, the more you think he was right.
Oh, absolutely. Because they're crying out for that sort of midfielder and have been for quite a while. It's strange. You wonder why Ferguson didn't at least have him involved in the squad occasionally, but it seemed like he was it's like he was seen as this unreliable youth player that wasn't ready yet.
And yeah,
it's unlike Ferguson to make that sort of mistake.
Didn't the same thing happen with Le Havre and Charles Nzogbia? I think it was a similar sort of... I had a testimony on that one, I think.
But the reason it's more odd with Ferguson was that, like, I remember, I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying it in his first autobiography when he was talking about that class of 92. Like, he was saying stuff like, oh, well, you never know if they are ready unless you let them play.
Yeah.
And so it was just weird how he didn't do that.
It may be that at the time, Pogba's game just suited Serie A more than it would have the Premier League. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm big enough to admit that Sir Alex Ferguson will know more about football than I do, so maybe... You know,
well, don't be hasty, mate. Yeah. It is very big here, but don't
you've not been given your chance.
No. Well, exactly, yeah.
I'm not playing it, you've got a strange name.
Yeah, right, maybe it was that.
Let's go to the Africa Cup of Nations, gentlemen. It's getting interesting. At the time of recording, South Africa and Ghana and Senegal and Algeria haven't played yet, or they haven't finished. But we do know that the Congos are up against each other.
Yeah,
the Republic of Congo and the Democratic Republic of Congo.
The fight for the true Congo.
That's right. They have never played each other in this competition, in the actual tournament itself.
This is the first time Congo have got to this stage for a while, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder what's in their water bottles.
Oh, do you?
Yes. I wonder what cordial is in the water bottles. Some bongo, Jim.
Yeah. Okay. A joke for a listener of a certain generation. Is that
I think so. Yeah, a certain vintage. Yeah.
And a certain older generation who may misunderstand it.
I quite fancy Claude Leroy's men for this one.
Claude Leroy.
Yeah. His chaps. Although the DR Congo with the keeper with the arse shuffle.
I mean, if you're going on
formidable opponents,
if you're going on managerial experience in that competition, then Claude Leroy's got to be fancied.
Reached the quarterfinals 7 times in 8
he
tournaments.
Loves it there.
With 5 different countries.
Yeah. I bet he's got a house in every country.
That'd
be wonderful.
So.
Living the dream.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Did you see Big Harve Renard absolutely losing his mind in Ivory Coast against Mali?
No.
He was just screaming at his players for the majority of the match. It's been pointed out on Twitter, but I forget who, but it's done the rounds, that he looks a lot like Jamie Lannister from Game of Thrones.
Yeah. But it's like a weird... in the back of a spoon version of
but honestly he was just losing his mind the whole time. It was terrifying. Well, I don't like to see the man so disturbed.
Well,
that's how frustrating Ivory Coast are. They made Harve Renard lose his cool, Marcus.
Yeah, well, that's a disgrace. they're in Group D and nothing separates the teams going into the final round of matches, which are this week. All games have been drawn 1-1 with Cameroon, Ivory Coast, Mali and Guinea.
It's similar to the England's group F in World Cup 90, with the Republic of Ireland, Holland and Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And it needed a winner from Mark Wright against Egypt to settle it, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, not all of those games drew 1-1, but yes, the way it panned out.
Yeah,
it was
down to the final group games.
Level pegging. But they might have to draw lots, as you say, if the two remaining matches end 1-1 as well. But at this tournament, they do love a 1-1.
Yeah.
So it could well happen.
It's been very tight, isn't it? Which it makes it kind of hard to see who's going to emerge victorious.
Yeah, indeed. And the other one, the other quarterfinal that is ready, is Tunisia versus Equatorial Guinea. The hosts have done very well to get through that group.
Oh, there were scenes when they won that game 2-0.
Oh, yeah.
And the second goal went in, and they knew they'd done it. They went absolutely post it.
I mean, Tunisia aren't a bad side, but the way the hosts have been playing, well, you wouldn't count them out.
You can understand the joy on behalf of Equatorial Guinea, given that they didn't qualify because they had an ineligible player. They didn't even expect to be there. Now they're hosting it, and now they're in the quarterfinal.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Denmark,
I was going to say. Absolutely.
Apart from the hosting.
The whole tournament is proper heating up now, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's really hitting its pace, so to speak.
Indeed. And, but where can we watch it, Peter?
Well, of course, idiot, you can watch it on British Eurosport. British Eurosport HD will be showing every single match of the African Cup of Nations live. Very exciting. To that end, we're going to be giving away a 1-year Eurosport subscription, so you can follow British Eurosport's coverage of the African Cup of Nations for the winner of my Mystery Voice game. It's back.
Ooh.
It's back. It's coming soon.
You can probably watch lots of other stuff on British Eurosport as well, I would imagine.
You watch the Asia Cup?
Yeah, you can.
Mm. Speaking of...
with all them moths.
Yes.
Yeah.
In HD.
We didn't mention that before, did we, the moths?
Well, I mean, what were the moths? Having to be hoovered up.
Yeah,
they're having
vacuumed
their own.
Up, should
that's
I say.
Horrible.
Is that cruel or not?
Yeah, definitely. Of course it is. Do you want to be hoovered up?
He could do it with a hoovering.
I sometimes do it on my on my leg by accident.
On your leg by accident, Mum, honestly.
Yeah. It was just my leg. It was just my upper leg.
What have I told you about coming into my room when I'm hoovering?
He's been hoovering for hours.
Yeah.
Cleaning the filter.
Yeah. Didn't Wayne Rooney need the Hoover on to sleep or something?
Yeah. Apparently so. Yeah.
So lots of people need sync on to a bit of background noise to sleep, don't they? Was it you who was saying that?
Well, yeah, but I live in Soho, so I got to sleep by people screaming in my street.
That's in central London. It's a rather busy part of town.
Yeah.
Normally reserved for the independently wealthy people, which I'm sure you would consider yourself now.
But they let me in.
You slipped under the radar.
I've got to sweep the streets.
In the Asia Cup, the final is has been determined. It's Australia versus South Korea. South Korea beat the Aussies 1-0 in the group
stage. They've already played,
And South Korea have not conceded a goal the whole tournament.
That's staggering, isn't it?
That is big licks. If they won the tournament without conceding a goal,
that'd be huge.
And it's a final between two of the least bastardly teams, isn't it? So that's a triumph for the competition.
The Australia, their semi-final was brilliant. Firstly, because one of the guys who scored was called Trent Sainsbury, which is magnificently brilliant. Australian. And the commentator just kept saying Timmy Cahill, which I love. But also,
I love that
in the stadium. I'm not sure where it was played, but there was Murray Mound at Wimbledon. There's that big hill nearby where you can see Centre Court from
Henman Hill.
There was a similar thing in the stadium. Just loads of people sat on a hill. As if it was a stand.
Cahill's Hill.
Timmy Cahill Hill.
I like that. I bloody like that. South Africa, South Korea haven't won the Asia Cup since 1960.
Yeah. That's surprising, isn't it?
The Soul Men.
Yeah.
I'm a soul man.
Might be good.
Just the given they got to the semi-final of the World Cup, you think that is a surprise, isn't it?
It is a very big
maybe
surprise.
Maybe they don't have the referees on their side in the end.
Maybe it was my influence because I visited late last year. So
I'd say so.
I'd be very surprised if you didn't have something to do with it.
I know.
Yeah, they don't want to go back to the scene of the crime. They want to be out of this country as long as possible.
a Norman did run me over by it with a scooter.
Did he?
It's plastic everywhere.
Did he then try and buy you off with a packet of cigarettes?
He did, yeah. sorry. And try to give me cigarettes. I'm like, I don't even smoke. And you've just pinned me up against the wall.
What, I'm going to replace my leg below the knee with that cigarette, am I?
Maybe it's just a really, really aggressive marketing campaign for a new brand of cigarettes.
Yeah. You're in an advert.
I guarantee you thought about that packet of cigarettes quite a lot since then.
I didn't. Why shouldn't I have taken it? Yeah. Why shouldn't I have taken it? I was bleeding from my leg.
Oh, man. Yeah, there was no need to punch him to the ground, I think. Australia put out the United Arab Emirates in the semi-final. Omar Abdulrahman has been one of the players of the tournament. We touted him.
Yeah, good player.
So well done us. Yeah. Well done,
him. I'll say it again, UAE plays some nice stuff. I remember them coming into Wembley and knocking it about nicely.
Yeah, he's only 23, plays for Al Ain in Abu Dhabi.
I like how that sounds like Alan.
Al Ain.
True dat. And before we go to Pete's Mystery Voice game, quickly to Argentina, where Juan Roman Riquelme has actually announced his retirement for the game. He's done this a few times.
I've got to say, I haven't even done that before.
But I think this is official now. I think he's 36. I loved the quote, "Now I am just a fan. I will go and suffer in the stadium." what a beautiful player, though.
Yeah.
What a player.
I saw Rupert, who writes for South American Football,
Rupert Fryer.
He described Riquelme as
lovely, wasn't it?
An artist imprisoned in a world of athletes.
That's nice.
Our profile of Riquelme is on the website, isn't it? Of course, from the Dean Windass Hall of Fame days.
That's probably how I would describe Rupert, to be honest, for the Football Ramble team.
Well, you're calling us athletes. That's a stretch. Okay,
I think you're wrong with both accounts.
Asthmatics.
No, he's an artist imprisoned in a team of piss artists.
Speak for yourselves. And now it's time for Pete's Mystery Voice Game.
It is time for Pete's Mystery Voice Game, and as I mentioned a little bit earlier, British Eurosport HD will be showing every match of the African Cup of Nations, and for the winner of this week's Mystery Voice Game, they get themselves a year's subscription to the Eurosport Player, so you can follow the African Cup of Nations or the Asian Cup or the tennis or something, anywhere you want.
Who was it last time, PT?
Well, this is who it was.
Vous savez, moi en tant que ministre des Sports, j'ai connu trois fois la qualification du Sili National en tant qu'athlète.
And the winner of that was, let me just get it up on my computer.
Because I've got a guess.
Have you got a guess? All right, okay.
Can I guess?
Hang on, have you?
I genuinely don't know.
You don't know, okay.
No, yeah.
Right.
Is it Frederick Canuto?
It's not Freddie Canuto, no. No, it's not. Brendan Bitt came up with the correct answer. TT Camera. TT Camera. Okay. So now we all
teams,
know. Yeah. So that man, Brendan Bitt, wins a... well, he's not only friend of the Ramble, but he also wins a year subscription to the Eurosport Player. And I'll be in touch very, very soon indeed. This week's Mystery Voice is this.
Yes, I think this is my second home. You know, even now when I'm flying over, you know, I'm so excited. You know, and it feels great.
So if you know who that is, just voice at thefootballramble.com.
Is it Freddie Canuto?
Well, that's one player I can't choose.
Yeah, right.
Thank
yeah,
you very much. Yeah. You've narrowed the field slightly.
Well, now you all know it's not him, so.
Yeah,
unless
exactly.
unless you pull out the textbook Donaldson double bluff, which has been known.
The PDDB.
Yeah.
Superb. Before we go to highlights of the week, we've got a couple of emails.
Oh, okay, good.
Couple of emails. I've got one from Ryan Hun, who was at the Manchester show.
He was.
Manchester
indeed,
Live
right.
show.
Lovely to meet him.
Lovely to meet him. He emailed him before with a story about a time when he was 10 years old playing.
It was a few years ago, wasn't it?
I believe so. Yeah, he was 10 years old during the story, not when he emailed him.
I was about to say,
when he was playing for his primary school football team, just to give you a little recap. And his dad was the team's manager, and they were 1-0 up playing in the final of a five-a-side competition when his father yelled some instructions to the 10-year-old Ryan. And young Ryan replied, "You tell me to do this, you tell me to do that. Make up your effing mind," in front of teachers and parents.
Wow.
And of course his father took him off straight away, and they lost 2-1. Oh. And they lost 2-1. And this taught me that my dad was tactically naive, as Ryan said. Well, we were chatting to Ryan about this, and he said, "Well, there's a little bit extra to add to the story."
I should stab him.
Yeah. Yeah. Ryan played him the episode of the Ramble where this got read out, and his father replied straight faced, "Well, I had to set an example. I couldn't lose the dressing room." but they both did laugh after.
That's
that,
great.
Right, I should say. So, Ryan, thank you very much for that. Jim, you've got an email as well.
I do have an email. It's from a friend and luminary of the Ramble, Murray James. He has only gone and done us a big shop 11. So get
nice.
Ready. Get
good.
Ready. So
right,
in
ready.
Goal, we've got Peter Checkout. Strong,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
Left back, Barco Di Sagna. Centre back, Paolo Mildilmi.
Yeah, it's excellent, mate.
Other centre back is Bogoff Melberg, as in buy one, get one free.
Yep.
Then at right back, you got John Arne Freezer. Left midfield, I'll just do the midfield, you got Veggie Blinker.
Veggie Blinker.
Trollivier Decor.
Yeah.
Sergio Baskets. John Joe Shelvesy. And up front, you got Jan Venegar of Household Inc. and Roberto Badgying area. On the bench, you've got Iker Casillas,
yeah.
Ibrahima Bakery Oko, Meat Chew, Farmacia Abu, and Tony Derigo. Manager, Bip, 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 Guardiola. Assistant manager, Alan Pardew, 3-2. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other. Hashtag go fuck yourselves, Murray.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, Murray.
Yeah,
excellent work.
Yeah, it was lovely to see Murray after the London show. Highlights of the week now with Luke Moore.
Hi, everyone. I've got a few. Just got a few because yeah. you know, we've quite a long show, so I'll just get a few out of there. And
in and out. In and out.
Yeah. Jack Wells comes in and says, my heart of the week was seeing Craigie Brown live on stage at the Bloomsbury Theatre. shame Nick Hewer couldn't make it.
I'd have brought him out. Yeah. I'd have brought him out if I was asked.
Did
trust me when
it.
I say to you,
no.
Every... There was no stone unturned for Marcus to shoehorn an impression in. Not even he could get a Nick Hewer.
A lot of dead space.
What a shame.
There's another one about you, Marcus, actually. You're the centre of attention.
Mm.
From Nathan Middleton. He says, in the Manchester show, I saw Marcus take a sip of water, dribble it on himself, and look around hoping nobody saw.
Well, that, in front of 1,000 people.
I saw.
That's not true.
Oh, seriously, it's Nathan Middleton. Take it up with him.
He's a bloody liar.
I'd like that to get to its conclusion naturally if possible.
Yeah, he's lying.
Mr. Seedu, so this is quite a good one. This is from Mark Withermouth. I think that's how you pronounce his name on the Twitter. He tweets in quite a lot, so I need to make a note of that because I keep reading his tweets out. They're so good. So
Mark Withermouth.
Yeah, that's what his Twitter name is.
Maybe that's a reference to Deadpool, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah,
nerds.
he says Saturday exactly 4:48 p.m. when every Chelsea and Man City fan jointly agreed the FA Cup wasn't special anymore. Anyway. hashtag pathetic. And I finished with this one from Mr. DB. He says, Luke, not reading out any of my submissions. I clearly have nothing interesting to contribute. Flounces off. Hashtag irrelevant to the Ramble. So there you go. You made it.
Mm.
Yeah.
There we are.
One in the eye. We had a good time, didn't we?
We had a marvellous time. Thank you so much to everybody who came. I mean, it was bloody fabulous. We've enjoyed London's love before, and we very much enjoyed it again. But in Manchester and Edinburgh, it was an absolute pleasure as well. It was wonderful, and the good people of Edinburgh. It was wonderful to be able to talk about the Scottish Premiership with yourselves and have the boys get involved as well.
My highlight in Edinburgh was a lad called Callum from Aberdeen who turned up with a Newcastle United shirt, but on the back it said Kinnear and number one, which I think he'd received in a crossbar challenge competition, whacking the ball against the crossbar from the 18-yard line. And it was the week that Kinnear was appointed manager, I think, of Newcastle United back in the day. So I did not expect that. I did not deserve that.
You'd have that back now, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I did not deserve that either way.
But there's more to that story, though, because they got, I think they got £100 worth of vouchers for completing the crossbar challenge. And so they got that for you. And then they got someone in the shop to phone through to see if they could spend the rest at Shearer's. And apparently they could.
Amazing. Of course they could. It's Newcastle United.
Lovely time, seriously. Thank you so much for everybody for coming out for the live shows. It was a bloody pleasure.
Yes.
So well done to you and to us. Norway, you're up next.
Yeah.
Okay? So
look out.
To get yourself some tickets, I believe you can do that on the website. 7th of February, we're coming to town, to Oslo specifically. And it'll be Lolslo.
Get me some blueberry tarts
and pickled herrings.
We cannot order them to do things.
We've learned,
and I will solve a dreary murder mystery in a knitted jumper while I'm there. Thanks everyone,
that's it. Well, if you want to get in touch, the email is show@thefootballramble.com, the Twitter is @footballramble, and the website is thefootballramble.com.
Yes, there will be a football match taking place in the Barclays Premier League. That's kind of what they do pretty much on Absolute Radio on Saturday afternoon. We're going to be bringing you Liverpool West Ham.
There we are. Yeah, Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Requiem.
It's goodbye from me.
Requiem.
Requiem. Yeah, it was me who did that, you wank.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.